everybody, and welcome to another episode of Retronauts Micro. I am your host for this one, Bob Mackey, and who else is here with me today?
Nice fruit roll, man. It's Chris Antista.
God, I forget. He's actually saying something in the Simpsons arcade game, and I forgot to write it down, but I know it's real words, and it means something.
I think he's saying, let's go for it, man.
I think so. That could be it, yeah.
But I always heard nice fruit roll, man.
And who else is here today?
Hey, it's Henry. Collect all the hats. Gilbert. Hello.
Collect all the hats? I'm more into exit signs myself. And today's episode, in case you didn't look at the title of the podcast you're listening to, is all about Bart versus the Space Mutants, the first Simpsons game, and probably the most prolific Simpsons game.
Why you got to do this to the people, Bob?
Hey, someone did it to me. Imagineering and Acclaim teamed up to ruin my childhood together in tandem.
This is one of the cruelest things that I think happened to us as little kids in terms of games.
It really was. And okay, so I did an entire Simpsons podcast for Retronauts about 5 years ago. All of our old episodes are on archive.org. If you want to look up old Retronauts that are from the 1UP collection, just go to archive.org, type in Retronauts, you'll find them all there. And I really wanted to zero in for this reboot of that episode. I want to zero in on Bart versus the Space Mutants because it's the one everyone played. It's the first Simpsons game, ergo got the most attention. And after that, we were like, I don't want to play another one of these ever.
It set expectations so low for any other Simpsons game that we didn't even complain that it got arguably worse after that.
Yes, they did get a lot worse. This has some inspired qualities. The execution is terrible. We'll get into that in a second.
Perfectly said.
I did want to say that this is sort of a cheap tie-in to our Simpsons podcast, Talking Simpsons. Yes, every Wednesday on Laser Time Podcast Network.
Yeah,
go to talkingsimpsons.com, correct?
We did a season wrap-up on it, and like this game has just come out about where we're at in the Simpsons.
This is around season two. This is 91.
This
came out when like Principal Charming was airing.
But it's after the Simpsons arcade game, which is phenomenal.
I think it's the same year. They're both 91. Again, we don't know when
Simpsons
arcade games are released.
The XBLA version pegs it at February 91.
Okay, then launching at the same time. Then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's true, and they didn't know either, probably.
Yeah, there's a commercial you can find. If you look up the commercial, it's clearly like a Brad Bird joint. A very, like, wow, the Simpsons are real well animated in 91, only for commercials.
Yes, when you pay an animation studio to make 20 seconds of animation, they're going to make it look really, really good.
Mm-hmm. It looks really, really good. And that was the first one, but like the push for it came months later. There's all these compilation commercials about like Bart versus Space Mutants, and don't forget about Escape from Camp Deadly. But they always mention Space Mutants because I guess in 91, you're the Retronauts guy.
Right.
That's when like there's the most systems to program for.
Yes. So this came out in February of 91. Mm-hmm. SNES would launch in America in August. So this is a very late NES game. It looks like a Famicom game from like 1987 that shouldn't have come over here.
So bad.
It looks really bad. I do want to go over some basic elements of this game. It came out in 9 different versions.
Yeah.
This sort of reminds me of Double Dragon, games like that, where it's released on NES, Genesis, every microcomputer, the Spectrum, the Amiga. Like, everybody got a taste of this trash.
Yeah, you owned
Double Dragon
like
is not trash, by the way.
If you owned something like a play video games, you had access to Bart versus the Space Mutants.
You did, and they knew, like, everyone's going to want a Simpsons game. This is still in the heights of Simpson Mania, Season 2 of The Simpsons. Mm. And I have to say, I know a lot about the Simpsons games because in 2009 for 1UP.com, I did a blog post about every single Simpsons game. Those aren't online now because, you know, why archive content? You know, I would just throw it away as soon as I was done with it.
But toss it. Who cares?
Ziff Davis waited a good 8 years before flushing it down the toilet. So thanks a lot, guys. But that podcast is still online, and I have a lot of knowledge about these awful, awful games to the point where every Wikipedia article about a Simpsons game has a link to something I wrote that no longer works. But I hope they keep those links up because I worked very hard on playing all those awful games. So before we start, I do want to say I will link to a Let's Compare video from the Gaming History source if you want to see the differences between every version. The Genesis version looks surprisingly good. The Spectrum version looks like a nightmare. There's no music. Yeah. Every sprite is transparent. It's like some kind of weird hell dimension.
I said that when I love my one of my favorite games from 2 years ago was the Rare Replay Collection. And I'm like, you were too thorough. These Sinclair things remind us of the time, these people aren't perfect.
Well, like, I mean, that just beats up the numbers. You want to get to 30 games, 12 of them have got to be Sinclair games or Spectrum games. But yeah, those, it's so close to not even being a game, those yes. ones. It's like, I mean, technically it's a game, but it can't even fulfill what you're paying for, which is just like, I want to control Bart Simpson. That thing is not Bart Simpson on screen, it's so you're weird, not even getting that.
It's a weird yellow duck creature, and I have to say that this game, I don't mean to insult our European listeners, but I feel like Europeans have a great amount of tolerance for terrible platformers because we were spoiled.
With the NES.
Yes, like Mario came out, Super Mario Brothers came out in 85, set a standard, like all games should play at least as good as this. Yeah. They can be better, but they have to be at least as good as this. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, that console crash never happened in the UK. Mm-hmm. They were playing every garbage nightmare platformer game. Yeah. Like
Sinclair. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, Dizzy was defining their platforming experience.
And I know a lot of you folks listening are probably like about to flush your iPad on the toilet in rage, but please, a lot of those European platformers are kind of not as great as the Japanese ones we got and were incredibly spoiled by. So that standard was out there in America, and not, and if you couldn't meet that Mario 1 standard, you were not worth playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that we, but we for tried. Me, if you slapped a character on it I liked, I would play it.
I'd at least rent it.
I would rent it, yeah. And I would say this is not as good as the first Mario game. But I'm playing as Bugs Bunny, so I may as well just keep going.
I want to give them some credit for knowing their audience as well. It seems like something we talk about on Talking Simpsons, the Bart craze. Like, it's just weird to think of him being the figurehead of the Simpsons for the first couple of years.
Yeah, I mean,
like, the Simpsons name is, like, in there for copyright purposes.
It's the Simpsons colon Bart versus the Space Mutants.
But all those NES Simpsons games were Bart, Bart, Bart.
Yeah, there's a terrible, awful Bart trilogy on
the
NES.
Worst. We played them all on our YouTube channel. They're disgusting. Yeah, Don't look at them.
All that Bart stuff and the ads were just like, I mean, it's the Bart game, so Bart's right in the center of it. So you just see this drawing of Bart, you're like, Bart, I gotta get it.
That cover art is like the Green Day Dookie of like of NES box art. It is gorgeous.
I gotta say,
it.
Yes, Chris, that is the one good thing about this game. The box art, they probably got the guy who draws merchandising art at the Simpsons staff to do. Like,
and again, talking Simpsons-y, in almost all merchandise, Bart is wearing a blue shirt early on, and
that's
here
right.
he's not. He's not. It's true. Not quite orange. It's red.
I think that's because it's easy to pirate a Bart doll, but it's harder to pirate a... I mean, you can still pirate NES games, but what are you going to do, redraw the arts and release it yourself? You know, you can make a Bart doll with a red t-shirt, but I think that's what it was for, right? Like, to certify, like, the wrong color shirt means the merchandise is A-okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, or they just licensed it differently, or they, like, it... I'm sure there was some... piece of paper that said you license blue shirt Bart, you do not license orange.
I don't know the
Bart.
Distinction, but if you look up a Butterfinger BB's commercial right now, he's always wearing a blue shirt in those Butterfinger commercials.
Wow, weird. I've seen the coveted rare green shirt Bart in places too. I don't know where that comes from. So I want to ask you guys, where did you find out about this game and how psyched were you?
I was so psyched.
I don't want to say I had the brain of like a 65-year-old man my entire life, but I don't know. I think reading a lot of game magazines, even at the age of 9, I knew that licensed games were bad. Like, even magazines that were trying to shill for everything, even Nintendo Power would kind of tell you that and wink at you like, oh, we all know licensed games, am I right? And like EGM and things like that. So
not Nintendo Power. They were the Jimmy Fallon of games publishing. They were very optimistic about everything.
Well, they want to say this game is bad in their review. They're like, you can't be an underachiever to play this game. It's really hard, kids. Yeah. They actually say that. But I rented this. I played the first level. I immediately died in the second level, and that was it. Like, this game to me is that first level. We'll get into why in a bit. But I want to know what you guys, how you encountered the game.
I didn't start reading game reviews and magazines until a couple of years after this, like probably 94 or so, maybe 95 was when I really started reading game reviews. So I found out about this through my main form of media, comic books.
Oh.
And they advertised the crap out of it on the back of comic books. Oh, yeah. And it was just the cover with then details and stuff because obviously you can't even get a screenshot,
no.
So it's going to be the cover, and that cover is alive.
I can't imagine how bad a screenshot taken from a TV would look like in a comic book on that cheap paper.
Yeah.
Dear God.
And I also remember, like, Genesis had this amazing ad that was, what do you get? Because this was the pre-Sonic advertising, or right around, this was non-Sonic advertising before he was their mascot. Like, get the Genesis, and you'll hang out with your best friends, Bart, Spider-Man, and George Foreman. It's like the three of them are right there.
What about Michael Jackson?
We've got all three demographics.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I saw the ad on the magazines. I was like, Bart is in a video game. I am the biggest Simpsons fan right now, even in early 1991. So I definitely rented it. And yeah, I think I never got past the first level because it's fucking stupid.
It is a stupid, stupid
so,
game.
As a kid, I probably, but I didn't have, I doubt I even still had the words to go like, this sucks. I would have just said like, whatever, I'll get the next thing. Let's rent a new thing. Yeah.
I'm a little older than you, but I
hear about this.
I didn't know what bad games were, but I remember referring like, I wanted, goddamn, Amagon forever. I'm like, well, this game's just really hard.
Amagon sucks.
Surely my expectations were warranted. This game's just really hard, and I'm not good enough.
Yes.
And so I remember, like, if I haven't told you my history on Retronauts before, my parents hated games. I had to work really hard to get games, but they encouraged me to read about them, so I got to read about them all the time. I don't remember any skeptical reviews of the game at all. I just was like mad hype for it. And when we found out it was at like Blockbuster Movie Gallery, we went and rented it, and it was just like, it's not even that like this sucks, it's just like, what are you even supposed to do? And I just remember like when you rent a game with your friend, your next door neighbor, that's like an overnight adventure.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
this was like,
you're spending the whole night cracking that note open.
And this is just like after 2 hours, just like, what about that other game? Yeah, like, so we didn't slander the game at all. I know I rented it again, tried to figure it out, but it is like you said, it's that first level is just so mean.
It is so mean
and obtuse, and it's like it's a bad platformer on top of all the ideas it throws at you.
It's actually the nicest level. It only gets meaner and less inspired. Let's go into some basic details about the game. It was developed at Imagineering. One of the main developers was Gary Kitchen. I thought he was more notable than I think I was thinking of David Crane when I was looking up this game, but it's actually Gary Kitchen. He's known for programming the Atari 2600 Donkey Kong. It looks like trash, but it is actually an amazing feat for the Atari. Like, having more than one thing on the screen moving is like a miracle on the Atari system.
It's true.
That was designed for two dots to move across the screen at once, and that's basically it. So, I mean, if you can make Donkey Kong happen, and he kind of did, he made two levels of that happen, good for him. And he also made a thing called Gary Kitchen's Game Maker for Apple II and I think Commodore. It was sort of an early like game making suite. Very, very limited, but people who grew up in this era have fond memories of it. I was a little too young for that, and I didn't have access to a computer until the late 80s. But more importantly, this game is super, super, super reliant on Season 1. Even more than the arcade game, which is very Season 1 reliant. I feel like they got some Season 2 materials and these people didn't, because we see, let's go over what's in Season 1 that's in this game. So we have a deal from, what episode is that? The Crepes of Wrath.
Yeah.
Where Bart is an exchange student, gets basically abused by two winemakers.
In France, while...
You sleep on the floor.
While an Albanian exchange student steals things.
That's right.
A deal.
And he throws bombs at you in one level because he's a bomb-throwing anarchist, I guess.
Well, they're damn lucky there were cherry bombs in the season one, so they could make that an item in the game.
Yeah, you're right. They did take that from season one. So we have Sideshow Bob, obviously. He is like one of the more notable villains in season one.
He is like the best sprite in the game, and this is a super superficial pinpoint in that when I realized what I love a licensed game, it's just the black. If you bother with a black outline around a cartoon character, it happened for Snoopy.
Yeah.
It didn't happen for Bart on the NES one, but Sideshow Bob looks like a good 8-bit approximation of Sideshow Bob. He's three times the size of Bart.
Yes, he is. But you can still step on his giant feet.
But the black outline does happen in the Genesis one. I was going to blow your minds by pointing out there was a Genesis one, because it's probably the weirdest port ever.
It is very good looking compared to the NES version, but things still look off.
It's garbage. It's even worse, but it actually looks like a... This could be a fun license game, but I just don't know of any games.
It's unplayable, just
yeah,
the same as
the other
ones. Yeah,
but what bad games from the NES era can you think of that get ported onto the next console?
Well, that was to sell it in England, or to sell it the fanciest thing in England.
Like. So other Season 1 stuff, we have Dr. Marvin Monroe, who is the boss of level 4. Okay, sure.
Very odd.
You hit him with a foam bat?
No, they should have done that, Chris. Yeah. That's amazing.
That sounds like you'd have to draw a new sprite.
So do you think
Bart.
The whole game is just them dragging existing assets into the game? Because it feels like very Ninja Turtles 1 quality. Like, whatever
it's
we
like,
got.
We have a human character from this other game. He
What's
looks
this?
Nothing like...
Parasentient shoes? They'll probably make a Simpsons episode about that.
So we have Space Mutants as well. So Space Mutants is in the title.
No, they're not the Space Mutants.
And you're good to point that out, Henry. These are different Space Mutants. Like, in the art for the game, they're these, like, humanoid-looking things with, like... like weird like eye stalk tentacles on their heads.
Yeah.
But in the game itself, they look nothing like the art or the space mutants that are in the movie, the fake movie in The Simpsons, which was a, like a huge season 1, 2, and 3 reference going to space mutants movies.
They're like a king and Kodos that can survive on oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are from the same drawing style that the Birth King Kodos, but the space beans are a very specific design, and you don't even see one of them in the game. Yes, like they're just vague aliens.
We should see Kang and Kodos at, in those beginning scenes where their conveyor belt is dropping things into a machine. Oh, that should be Kang and Kodos.
They look
really
like Doom characters. And what, what's great is like that comparison video you have. Those things vary wildly from game.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was like just make what up, just make up.
How many eyes does it have? I don't know. At least. One, like, okay,
they'll never actually be in the same screen as Bart, so who cares?
It's not like The Simpsons has a distinct look or anything, you know, or like rules to how you draw characters.
It does, it does feel weird that like graining or there's no system in place to oversee this product and make sure
Matt
it's accurate.
Matt Groening made sure his name got on the start screen, and that's it. Like, you didn't have to, but. But there's also, what, Babysitter Bandit, right?
She's Miss Botts. She is the boss of the mall. Mm-hmm. We also have no Burns and Smithers, a real oversight in this game. I feel like they
Konami knew their supervillains who should be the final bosses.
Yeah, so. I feel like Konami was much more savvy about everything they did with The Simpsons. In fact, when I got done with doing all this research, I just went online and looked at the sprite sheets for the arcade game. Like, this is masterful. Yeah. This is this should be in a museum. This is so beautiful. I made one of the sprites my avatar because I was so inspired. I'm like, I love these sprites.
Well, it's time to get rid of that Thanksgiving avatar.
I agree.
I can never get rid of my Xbox 360 because it has that unavailable Simpsons arcade.
You can't download it anymore.
Old delisting. Yeah. Well, Konami delisted something and you can never get it back.
That and the Ninja Turtles game came about through marketing a new game with that product. That's the only reason it exists.
Well, I'm glad. I thank Konami for playing ball with EA or Ubisoft on that stuff.
It was nice to have that game for, what, 3 or 4 years maybe?
Yeah. And watch, I love that growing up. Coming into the games industry in my mid-20s, and then, like, you know, I get a little older, and then, like, younger kids come in, and they review a game like The Simpsons, and, like, this sucks, finished it in 10 minutes, and, like, I can't weigh my own memories of this game on why it's so much better than that.
You're breaking my heart with these words.
And you're not wrong, but, like, I need this game.
It's not meant to be a lasting experience. It's meant to be, like, a fun little, like...
It's meant to take $10 of quarters from you.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have all talked about your arcade memories, but just being forced to travel to places like the Grand Canyon with my parents, like, and you always hold out that hope. You'll walk into a lodge in the middle of one of these scenic vistas you don't care about, and there'll be a Simpsons arcade machine.
That or Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and like 30% of the time you would, yes, it's here! It's here.
Or Altered Beast. I remember being excited to be like, oh, I got Altered Beast in here. But, all right, back to Bar vs. Space.
Yeah, so the premise is ripped right from the movie They Live, which was only like 4 or 5 years old at this point. That's a weird trap. Yeah.
No, it's 2 years. It was an 89 film.
89, wow, okay, yeah. So basically, aliens have invaded Springfield, hiding in plain sight outside of the ones that are everywhere that look nothing like humans. And Bart has to put on X-ray specs to see their true forms. And if you defeat an alien that is disguised as a human, you get a piece of evidence. If you collect all of them in a level, then the family member will help you fight the boss. That's basically how the game works. And they, I mean, it's not explained in any way.
They all look never explained.
They all look like Calvin's Uncle Max. That is an obscure reference for people from this era.
He kind of does. And that's one thing, Chris. Like, they, outside of Sideshow Bob, they don't nail the look of the show at all.
No, not at
all. And that goes for the music as well. Like, Yes, okay, so we'll play the Simpsons NES theme, which you'll hear a lot in this game. Yes, so that's, you hear a lot of that loop throughout the game. And I'm going to say, Danny Elfman's theme for the show is a very complex piece musically. At least to me, knowing nothing about music, it sounds very complex. Things are lots of instruments, lots of really fast-paced notes.
That's good game music.
Then it goes to shit right there. Yes. Yeah. And anyhow, it's not fair to make an NES try to produce this music, but they try with four channels, and you hear this looped over and over again artlessly. It doesn't even loop well. It's just like, okay, so, the song's over, it's starting again.
So I have a theory on that after... I didn't play this again before before doing this, but I did watch. Well, I turned on an hour long playthrough, the complete playthrough of it, and I watched 30 minutes of it straight until I was like, I gotta fast forward. I cannot stand this.
But because every time you think the level's over, it's not.
There's a second song that is sort of like a bad half ass remix where they get rid of one instrument. It's like, I guess it's a new song.
So when I started this game, where I started it and heard this song, I was like, oh, this start screen is good. Great. This start screen is great. And they got the music right. And they paid for the music and credited. So I'm like, well, they did a great job. And then after 10 minutes of it, like, it's just this song. You're driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And then when I zip towards the end of the game, I'm like, it's still just this song. And my theory is that they spent all their music budget on that. Or they're like, we got to get this song. And when they did it, they're like, holy shit, that's expensive. We have no money for anything else. And
yeah,
so
they get creative with that song too. Like when you fight a boss in some later stages, there's a part in the song that's like, diddle, 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 diddle. You know, I can't replicate it perfectly, but you know the part of the Simpsons song I'm talking about.
Yes.
You also hear that when Bart dies. When you get to the boss, it just does that over and over again. That one diddly 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 do over and over and over again until you defeat the boss. So well, yeah, they were getting creative with you reusing that one song that is not done well at all.
Well, and so then when I watched the comparison video. The one you probably are thinking of as well, or you're linking to in this, they have the music too. Like you can see, every non-NES version was like, we're not paying for Dan, we're not paying Danny
oh,
Elfman $80,000. The music, the song is not there. Oh,
can we play the Genesis one, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
You won't hear it in the Genesis one.
It sounds like Day of the Tentacle, actually. That's like the alternate reality version of The Simpsons that we never got.
Again, they couldn't. They're like, we're not paying Danny Elfman all this money to license this song.
So you can do that diddly 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 dee. It's free.
Doesn't even pull. It shouldn't end up Back to the Future thing where they play it backwards.
Ugh. Please turn it off, Chris.
No.
Thank you. So yeah, I mean, that song, there are a total of two songs in the game, and they're both the Simpsons song, and it's not done very well, and I'm sure my mom probably lost several thousand brain cells hearing me play this in the background. I'm not sure how did my parents never beat me? I don't know. I played all these games in front of them, and they were fine with it.
Just thank them for not beating
me. Yes, I'm going to go home and do that and call my mom. So let's talk about the game's design.
We all
hate the first level, of course. We hate the entire game.
But it's the first level is almost not, but I mean, just I was a dumb kid.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand what I needed to do or when I was done doing it.
If you read the instructions and if you know what you're doing, the first level is the most inventive level with the most ideas. So
yeah.
Well, thanks to Nintendo suing Blockbuster, they couldn't photocopy the instructions,
yeah,
so you
like,
don't know what they are.
And I now know there's a prompt at the bottom that'll tell you like you've done enough to move to the goal.
Yeah, go to the right.
But if anything happens in between, you collect a coin or get hit, it disappears.
Oh,
so
no.
Like,
okay.
Like as a kid, we couldn't figure out for a long time with no manual what you're supposed to do in the
game. So I'll tell you how this game works. In each of the five levels, so the aliens need a certain type of item to power their ultimate machine, which we don't know what that is. They never really say. In the first level, it is purple items. Mm-hmm. Anything purple they need for their world conquering machine. So that means Bart has to find ways to either cover up the purple things, mm-hmm. change the color. So really, this level taps into the essence of Bart. He's being mischievous with different like tools and weapons and tricks and traps.
And spray paint, which is a very Bart thing.
Yeah, you're armed with spray paint, or you can knock down a paint can and change the color of an awning, or shoot out windows with bottle rockets. But the game never tells you that or how to do it or when you're done. Because you do need to do a certain amount in order to progress.
When I watched a full playthrough, I was like, oh, I was supposed to buy all those rockets to shoot in that one specific
song. Only if you stand under the window in the retirement castle so grandfather...
And blow the
whistle. It's so adventure gamey.
It is, Chris. And it is. This really draws into that sort of like, you have one game to play for months, try everything, adventure game mentality. Because I will give this first level credit because there is so much cool stuff you can do compared to what happens in the second. There's very much like a level of interactivity you don't see in the second, third, fourth, and fifth level, which is just like collect-a-thon garbage.
It's probably all we need to talk about because odds are none of you, I would say 80% of you listening never played past
But this. I do want to talk about what you can do in that first level.
It's great.
Not to go on too long, but you can these are the, like the options you have to cover up the purple objects or collect them or whatever. You can, you know, spray paint them. One thing is really cool. You can prank call Mo. He'll come out in his purple whatever apron. You spray paint him. It's a very G-rated Moe's bartender joke where it's like, is Isabel
there?
Paint
his house with your brains.
Yes. Mo doesn't actually tell Bart he's going to kill him. You're like, is Isabel there? Last name Rigging? And it's like, wow, Isabel ringing. Come on, dudes. That's great. You can go on the grass next to a keep off the grass sign. A cop will come to, you know, I don't know, arrest you or shoot you, and you just spray paint him. You can buy a wrench. You can buy objects. There's shops in the first level where you can buy things. That's crazy. Yeah. Buy items to use on other items. It's very adventure gamey. And it's just fun to explore Springfield in 1991. That was the coolest part, because it wasn't an authentic Springfield. Yeah. The movie theater was there. Candy Most Dandy was there. We all love that classic Simpsons location.
Hey, you kids!
Yeah,
hey.
classic Mr. Dandy. But yeah, they blew
And Gemini Springfield says something
to you. Right. It's like, remember to get ahead, Bart, or whatever. I don't know. You shoot a bottle rocket at a bird that's resting on his finger. It's really stupid.
Well, and there's a skateboard scene. So
yeah,
like,
with an off-model Jimbo.
Yeah. And it doesn't work, but it's at least it was proof of competency of seeing the show and knowing what Bart did in the first season. Yeah. These are all first season Bart things.
Yes. And after that,
it reeks of like, but the first level reeks of like, that was the concept they pitched.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they rushed the rest of it.
That's true.
You're totally right, Chris, because the rest of the levels could be in any game at all. Yeah. So the rest of the levels has the same premise of, okay, get all the blank objects
hats.
You need. Instead of having Bart think of creative ways to collect them or disfigure them or cover them up, it's just like, no, just collect them. It's fine. We ran out of things for you to do. So
look, there's a hat there. Jump on these floating things in the Springfield Mall and get that hat.
This has to be out by Easter.
I really want to know the story, and I was going to reach out to the guy who was you know, one of the guys who made this, but I feel like, you know, we're just going to make fun of this, and I don't want you to listen to it if we are. I'm sure you know it's crap too, but I don't want you to be like a party to this.
Yeah. But I still want to learn like what it was like to make a game like this.
Me too. And like how much time they had, what the restrictions were.
It reeks of Western development, and I think Japanese development, especially with licensed games, got away with a lot more, because they were able to say, this is our process and you hired us, you have to respect that. We'll try and hit your date best we can.
So I am looking at the list of publishers for the game.
Oh, it's insane.
Well, and that's what I realized now. Like, you can say a lot of shit about Acclaim, but they were the only one they published was the NES version.
Oh, okay.
They paid for that song. Like, they spent the money for that song.
Actually,
Flying Edge and Ocean Software, they weren't ready to pay.
Baby. I think Flying Edge might be like an Acclaim subsidiary for Europe.
Oh,
but,
you're right.
Acclaim's Ultra.
Yeah, right. Basically, yeah. So they don't get in trouble with Nintendo for, you know, publishing one game on their system. So I want to talk about why this game sucks. I mean, we've underlined a lot of it, but...
Well, first and foremost, the platforming is terrible.
That's exactly right, Chris.
And everything about where you step and jump is arbitrary.
Bart's hitbox is all over the goddamn place. Yeah. It's never clear if you can land on something. It's never clear if something's going to hit you. Like, every windowsill is a platform, no matter how shallow. It's very strange.
Except
like, the
for
rules
some,
of the world are
and
very
there's,
strange.
Let's, here, I can easily draw this picture in your brains. Here's a door. I just drew a rectangle. Use it! Just a rectangle. In the middle of it is a window. How would you know that you can use this, the top of the middle rectangle, as a place to stand?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense in the real world. It doesn't make sense in a game, but that's the only way for you to complete the game.
It drove me crazy as a kid to be like, these are not the obvious visual tells just from other NES games. Like, I was like, I played Castlevania. I know where I'm supposed to jump.
Why would a metal trash can be a trampoline?
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah. And even in the speed run I saw, the dude was, or the player was trying to spray paint something. He's like, you're one pixel away. It didn't do
you're
it.
You're standing
like,
next to it.
Psh, nope, didn't work.
Oh, you have to jump up and nail it. You can't be standing next to it and spray paint it.
Well, and it also it reminded me of what drove me crazy when I played it as a kid watching. It was just like, these are space mutants. These are enemies on a screen. And by playing Mario, I have been taught, if I jump on these enemies on a screen, they go away. But it says, like, no, you avoid these space mutants.
You can't kill most enemies.
Them.
Yeah, you're right.
And it drives me nuts.
And who are just floating and nothing and moving up and down. That's
one thing, Chris. This reminds me of European style platformers, and I'm sure there are some good ones, but the bad ones I've seen where it's just like the idea behind it is just like a bunch of random shit swarming around on the screen with no rhyme or reason. Just like it's just swarming, no thought as to how the best way for a player to get through it, no thought as to like, can they possibly avoid getting hit? I mean, it's just all over the place, and the controls are totally crazy again. Super Mario Brothers 1 came out 6 years before this. You need to meet that standard. That standard has been established. Everyone knows how a game should play. The run button is the same as the jump button. How do you let that happen in 1991? It's crazy. And also, there is a second kind of jump, a long jump, where you hit A and B at the same time. So in order to get the most effective jump, you hit A once, Bart jumps, you hold an A, you start running, and then you hit A and B at the same time. maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. You better hope you're not over a bottomless pit.
I played this a ton. I still didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just a cruel game with this bullshit. And then, yeah.
You are on a timer, by the way. You have to find pieces of a thing and how to dismantle them, and you have a timer.
We don't have a lot more to go over, but I do want to talk about how this game just devolves into complete nonsense starting with level two. So level one, it's still Simpsons Land. You're riding skateboards. There's aliens there. Who cares? They need to make a video game concept.
It is believably Springfield. You're like, I'm in Springfield.
It's very grounded. Level two. You're riding floating candy bars over pools of wet concrete in the Springfield Mall, and just sentient shoes are trying to kill you, and giant donuts are just rolling down the hall, and there are no sign jokes. There's no sign jokes in a level where there is nothing but signs. Okay, there's one sign joke that I picked up in my watching this Let's Play. It was the shoe store was called the Really Big Shoe. So, congrats. The Genesis version actually takes some jokes from Blood Feud. There are signs for like Wicked Excess and the Tam O'Shanter collection, but the NES version has no jokes outside of the ones they made up. So level three is Krusty Land, which again, there are some inventive touches in these levels that show that they cared a little bit. In Krusty Land, you can play all the carnival games to earn points, to earn coins, to to pop the balloons you need to pop in this level. It's very interesting that they had that level of interactivity again, but it's just a very minor part of a bad level. And the level does have a Lights Out puzzle, which is the worst, laziest game design ever. If you know what Lights Out is, it's like when you click on a button, the other buttons light up on either side. It's a really, really rote, super easy puzzle. It's like second to block pushing in the school of puzzle design.
I also saw in that comparison video, every game but the NES game has a pretty cool intro sequence.
Yeah,
that is more fun, and it always makes. What is the Atari ST, and how do I play one?
The other thing for the Genesis was that it took a year. They had an extra year.
Yeah,
they did, and they still didn't really make it better.
No, I mean, it's weird. Like, some things looked a little better, but at the end, like, they didn't know. I guess they didn't know the end boss was supposed to be Nelson, so it just looks like some random child in the Genesis version.
It's like all blue.
Yeah.
From hair to shirt, all blue.
It's weird, but Sideshow Bob still looks good. So. Watching this horrible, I mean, I hats off to whoever Let's Played this game or long played it that I watch. It looks so painful. And I noticed that they fall back on the same level design tropes over and over after level one. It's like, well, here's a long stretch of bottomless pit with these very, very tiny moving platforms. We're going to do that for like two times per level. So in every level after the first one, you'll have that happening to you. It's so cruel. And the last level is especially hateful. So
when I watched that, yes. I had never seen the last level before. When I saw it in that Let's Play, it's like, this is an abomination.
It's basically half of any long play you watch is this level.
It takes forever and is meaningless. And you can't, it's just like, keep going through doors. Nope, that door took you to level five, but the door's locked on the other side. And
It's basically a giant maze where you have to get like passwords from Lisa, summon Homer with donuts to fight enemies. I forget what Marge does. It's probably stupid.
She walks through.
She actually, you need to collect 16 power rods to return them to the basement, and Marge will take them back for you. But because you can only carry four at a time, so every time you collect four, you've got to go through the maze again to the basement unless you have Marge on your side. It is incredibly painful, and there's no boss at the end. You just do it, and the game's over.
And
you get this dumb image of Bart's head on Mount Rushmore because the aliens respect him now.
So yeah, I mean, watching it felt like a nightmare. Like, I've had these nightmares.
Was it Bart's nightmare, Henry?
I have had nightmares where, I don't know if you guys have ever had these, where you're like, you're having to complete a task, but it just gets more complicated as you try to finish it. And
your teeth keep falling out.
And you just can't finish it. And it's just constantly trying to. And so when I see this, it reminds me of those nightmares I've had of just like, no, you weren't on level four and grab this thing. And yeah, if I had suffered through that for months as a kid to get that ending would have pissed me off too. Like, it was, so you beat them. And also the last one. The last isotope is just filled in by Maggie's pacifier.
Yeah,
which is
that's a joke,
crock,
I guess.
Anyway. And then you don't even get to see the aliens really leave, and you don't fight anybody. And then it's just Bart, like, wouldn't Bart have heard on the news that his head was on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah,
all of a
they just go to Mount Rushmore, and his head is there. He's like, wow, I guess this is fun.
Confirm Springfield's in South Dakota.
Thanks, players. Yeah, so, I mean, that's Bart versus the Space Mutants. I have to say that there were lots of bad games in 91, but as a kid, again, I say that standard was set. And playing this, I was like, this just doesn't feel right. This doesn't play like a video game should. And I had that inkling, but I wasn't sure like if a game could be bad at this point. I just was like, this doesn't work right. I'm just not going
to
play it anymore.
There's something wrong, and that's the only reason I'd like to talk to somebody involved in it. Because not to go off, Bart versus the World is like, largely reused assets from this game.
It really is. To be fair, things look more Simpsons-y, but it is just bad platforming.
It's
no inventive
awful.
Qualities at all, yeah.
But you reuse the same Bart sprite almost to a T.
Yes.
It's a horrid Bart sprite.
They did not fix that sprite.
You're right. It's a duck. Like, it's a duck thing.
That's why, I mean, even though Bart's nightmare is still kind of bad, just seeing things look like they should was like a stunning, just amazing.
It was. Yeah, and it's a testament to how bad Simpsons games are. This isn't even the worst one on the NES. Like,
yeah, I was gonna ask you guys, I mean, like, how do the other NES Simpsons games stack up? I mean, Krusty's Funhouse is different. It's a different game.
I need to revisit them because I just thought they were all awful. I definitely think
that's the horrible.
I got this, and then I probably rented one more one. I think Bart's Nightmare. And then after that, I was like, never again. I'm not renting a Simpsons game. These are bad.
The horrible truth is that Krusty's Funhouse is the best.
It is.
Non-arcade one.
It's based on an existing game, so they had nothing they could really...
It goes to me, arcade, which is like, you're in your nines or eights, especially back then, maybe not now.
It's still
and
really
then,
good, Chris.
And then we delve back into the sixes with EA's The Simpsons game, which is fan service-y as hell, but the worst 3D platformer I've ever played in my life.
I mean, it's full of mediocre filler. It is, but...
It's awful.
But it has production values. They spent a lot of money on getting every voice. And
original animation.
Basically an episode's worth of original
it's
animation.
It's a strong C plus to Space
Mutants F.
But then
when we replayed it on stuff, when we replayed it on streams, I was like, wow, this is not fun to play. Yeah. This is not good.
Then you get all the way to Krusty's Funhouse, which was an existing simple puzzle game. So it's fine, but it doesn't need The Simpsons at all.
No, not really. And I think it's called like Rat Trap in
It was
the
called
UK,
Rat Trap, and I think Acclaim bought the rights to it, turned into Krusty's Funhouse, and then it's just all bad.
Everything else is just dirt.
And it feels like if Acclaim was responding to our feedback, which was like, if you can't see the room we're recording in, but I have a Bartman Avenger of Evil corkboard 1990 thing in the room. I love Bartman, but Bartman is never addressed on the show.
It's one joke in one episode, and it's really just a merchandising thing that became a joke on the show.
Yeah.
Because Batman was coming out when The Simpsons were huge. Yes. And that's basically the tie-in.
As a kid, I loved Bartman so much.
But
loved it.
Bartman meets Radioactive Man.
That's the worst, right?
Seem like they got the note that, like, we just should be a straight-up platformer, and you see why they didn't have the capabilities to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cruel and mean and awful. Every single second is worse than the last. It's really bad. At least the other stuff is like kind of high concept.
Yeah.
And like it has game elements to it. This is just you couldn't have it simpler with
I haven't played Simpsons Tapped Out to the Money Pit, but
it sucks.
I don't feel like doing it, but I think they at least got references right. But,
I have a real big soft spot for Bart's Nightmare. And what should be better? The Itchy and Scratchy game, because it shouldn't have the simplest goal ever.
I had that on my Game Gear and thought, like, oh, this is good. This is good, right? No, it's not.
It's really bad. They can't even get the song right.
No.
Yeah. It's so bad.
The Forgotten Simpsons game, that's the best one to me, because it isn't even a game. It's really a series of screensavers.
Oh.
It's Virtual Springfield.
That's right, yeah.
So Virtual Springfield is a bunch of jokes and references, and it was made, I think, like 96, 97. And
you pointed out to me, blew my mind.
You have Troy McClure voices you'll never hear anywhere else, and they got Phil Hartman to do it. They got all the voices, they're all speaking, and it's an adventure game with no point. It's just like
you collect cards and that's it, right?
Pretty much. But it's not for any purpose, really. You're just like, I went to the nuclear plant, time to click on everything and see what happens. But you get to see, like, oh, the purple goo from the donut is covering this thing, just like in the episode where Homer prevents the meltdown. Oh, this is the stone cut. Like, I found the secret place where the stone cutters
someday
are.
Someday I'll need your help or somebody in Retronauts' help to, like, the weird era of the CD-ROM game.
I played it for the Retronauts blog in 2009. It was on an old PC, and it barely worked, but I still was able to play it.
Yeah, there's that, and the Beavis and Butthead.
Like,
is it Virtual Stupidity for Beavis and Butthead?
Oh, that's actually good.
Yeah, and then the Muppets one. And someday we'll find the Mystery Science Theater 2000 one that was never finished. Somebody will publish some of that. I want to know.
The Assignment Venezuela short is on YouTube, though. It was a DVD extra.
Oh, that was made for the game?
That was made for the game, yeah. They made one short. But I will say Virtual Stupidity is good. It's not as good as a LucasArts adventure game, but it's surprisingly well made for a licensed adventure game. Yeah,
All
and the Duckman game isn't bad either. There's no Jason Alexander though.
There.
Boo.
Yeah,
There's but a King of the Hill game out there somewhere.
But the Simpsons one was more than one. Good. It was the Virtual Springfield. It was good. It gets forgotten by a lot of people. I had at my old place at Games Radar, I had a bit of a disagreement with the other editor I was writing the article with.
Was it someone from the UK?
Who thought that Bart vs. Space Mutants was a very good game.
Again, that's because he played, like, Chinese water torture platformers.
He was a big Sonic fan. He is a big Sonic fan.
Yeah. Oh, so. You're talking about JT.
I felt like we have to... Let's not name him. I thought... Lisa S. Now,
no.
L.
Simpson.
But no, look, hey, I don't begrudge him his opinions. His wrong ones, but I felt like I just had to get in a knock on Sonic on the Retronauts. I thought that was a thing we do on.
Hey, here, if you were tortured enough by bad platformers to think this is a good game, I'm in love with you. More power to you, man, because your life was hard.
I love the idea of somebody loving this game, and if it wasn't for those Let's Players out here, I don't know that I would have seen more than the first three levels.
Thank God that those people are out there doing that. What they do,
I mean, it just rote trial and error memorization because most every level is just like. First level, it's purple stuff, then hats, then balloons.
Balloons, then exit signs.
And it's all like kind of, you don't really know how you deal with them. And if you don't pop every balloon, you don't get to the boss. You won't be able to get to the boss. But a very good, there's a good crusty and itchy and scratchy sprite in there somewhere.
There is, yes, there kind of is.
The giant's crusty head looks good.
And the eyes do follow you.
Within the world of that game, that looks good.
Yeah. It's the best they could
Didn't we have one other clip?
We had the commercial if you want to listen to that.
The commercial is a short, sweet 15 minutes. Beautiful animation. I encourage you to look it up on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel.
Bart! Go to bed!
Sure thing, Dad!
It's Bart versus the Space Mutants for your NES. Only Bart Simpson can save the Earth.
Bart! Okay,
Get the Simpsons game for your NES from Acclaim.
Bart! That was a good 8 seconds of animation.
Yeah. But there's multiple versions of it. As they make new Simpsons games, they still are always hawking Bart versus the Space Mutants. But
it's still available.
When they want to hawk Camp Deadly and Krusty's Funhouse. Again, the commercial we put up, I think somewhere...
That one of Krusty naming like 8 games, it's just like, that's when it overwhelmed me. Like,
it's 1992.
It made this
3 different
this
platforms.
Many.
And I love that because it's the only time the Simpsons really do say a real world existing console. And Krusty screams out Super Nintendo.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So this is going on much longer than I intended, as with every Retronauts Micro. But I did want to end with asking whether the best Simpsons games. I think you guys kind of said which ones you like the most.
I think we're all agreed on
that. I mean, Arcade is the best game.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for Virtual Springfield. I spent a lot of time in there, but it's barely even a game, and you could never play it.
Yeah.
And it's just lost the time. But so, my pick is Simpsons Arcade.
Yeah, me too. I mean, even if it's shallow, it is the best that kind of game can possibly be. Mm-hmm. Just like it's a delivery method for cool animations and references and like great sound effects, great music. We use the music on Talking Simpsons.
Yeah.
So I do
really appreciate the work that went into the Simpsons game. It is full of references, full of jokes, like tons of jokes about like they're fighting Ryu and it's Ryu. Yeah. Like it's all these
in a Madden game factory.
And when Will Wright is taunting them, like he's a boss. It's like, I've kissed a girl. Like he said, and there's an incredible great joke of them talking about their shitty 8-bit games.
Yeah. I do love, I was going to say that. It's like, that was Marge's catchphrase. Everyone else had their own.
And that's what
I'm Marge. Yeah,
at the very least, a Simpsons game should be funny. And I know Tapped Out meets that requirement in Virtual Springfield. And that really does too. And if you've never made it to the last level of that game, it is a battle through Matt Groening's mansion where he sends Futurama
and, like,
characters.
Bender's
to
there?
Kill
that's right. Yeah.
And Zoidberg. What about Zoidberg?
I will give an honorable mention to Simpsons Hit and Run, which was the.
My God, that is the number two. As a game, that's great.
I don't know how well it holds up, but it was my favorite Grand Theft Auto until San Andreas came out.
We played it a year ago with really bad frame rate on our YouTube channel, but like. Just playing through the Springfield map is all wrong.
Of course, there's no way it could be right.
But it's so so silly, and like it's all funny. It's got great voice acting.
Well,
in it.
EA one tried to have that kind of GTA Springfield one too, but it didn't really do it. It was that team would later go on to make Dead Space.
That's so weird. Yeah, I mean, starting with Road Rage, which was the crazy taxi ripoff they got sued over. Mm-hmm. Someone had the bright idea, like, hey, we're making a Simpsons game. Maybe let's hire a Simpsons writer. So I think Matt Selman wrote a lot of Simpsons games. Yeah,
Selman and another writer did the EA game.
Yeah,
I remember that? Which is, I guess, came out the same year as the movie, so it's turning 10 this year.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Nah, I don't want to think about that.
Coming up, baby.
So, yes, thanks for joining us on this pleasant hell ride through a just terrible game we all suffered through. Please let me know on the comments or on Twitter or whatever what you think of this game, if you finished it, like if it scarred you for life as it did all of us. But as for me, you can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. You can read my writing at somethingawful.com and fandom.com, mm-hmm. where I write video game stuff. And, of course, let's talk about Talking Simpsons, Chris.
Yeah.
Sell it, Chris.
Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time's chronological look at every single episode of The Simpsons. By the time this goes up, we'll be at the bottom end of season 4.
Oh, man. Can't wait to get to 5.
Can you believe we're almost at season 5?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And I do think, if I haven't plugged it enough for Retronauts fans, 30-20-10 is a show we do where we look back to that week in history, 30, 20, and 10 years ago. And it's been really great. Trying to hold back every time there's like a momentous Simpsons episode released 20 years ago. And the last one was like, it was, and here come the pretzels. Like, yeah, we have to mention that.
By the time we get to that, our episodes will be 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, by the time we get to that, we'll have like 9 kids. And we'll be able to do the show that often.
Little Bob can take over.
Come on, guys. We'll already be in 1984 world by that point. Yeah. There will be a podcast. I'm HENEREYG on Twitter. That's where you can find me. I also write for Fandom. You'll find my work there. And I'm on other podcasts, but especially Talking Simpsons. And we got some exciting stuff planned for the future. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
All right, we got nothing.
Yes.
No, we actually do have something planned, but I don't want to say it on a podcast.
Are you happy? See, well, talk more than on Talking Simpsons.
Yes,
and Laser Time, all that, but whatever. Love you. Thank you so much. And our YouTube channel, the one game stream you might like, we tried to do when we were wrapping up the third season of The Simpsons for Talking Simpsons. We did the three Simpsons games of 1992. And if you think this is a bad Simpsons game, we cannot overlook the Game Boy games, which are utter...
They're not even games.
They are dog smegma.
They learn nothing.
Bart versus the Juggernauts might actually be the worst game Simpsons game ever made. Yeah. It's terrible.
But I am cited as the expert on the internet, so I have to live that down for the rest of my days.
We excuse Game Boy games for being bad due to their limitations.
Yeah.
But like the idea, like if you think looping one song is bad, it sounds like we don't even know the name of the song. Let me ride that donkey. Let me ride that donkey. That's it. For 45 minutes.
It is like a ringtone from 1997. Yeah.
Yes. Black and white graphics as Bart plays an American Gladiators parody. It's awful.
Ugh, God. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We'll be back next week with a brand new full-length episode of Retronauts. We'll see you then.